little PowerPoints. We're going to be bringing our Bible, bringing our phone, bringing our whatever kind of device we got. So we're just going to read the Word of God. So today we're going to be in Galatians chapter number 2. If you want to get your device out, your Bible out, whatever, Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 11 through 21. And then we're just going to pray and see what the Lord would say to us and how He would challenge us today. So let me remind you, this is a letter written by the great apostle Paul. He is writing to the churches in Galatia, churches that he has planted, churches that he has started, churches that he is overseeing. They have strayed a little bit away from the gospel. They've strayed away from the blood of Jesus Christ. They're going back to trying to follow the law and making about their own self-righteousness. Paul is writing this letter to them, and Paul is kind of correcting them. He's rebuking them just a little bit. He is instructing them. Galatians chapter 2, we'll pick up in verse number 11, says this, "But when Peter came to Antioch, Paul said, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he was doing was very wrong. When I first arrived, Peter ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised, but after that, some friends of James came, some old hardcore Jews, and Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of the criticism from these people. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like these Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right by God, made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ and not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of the law that I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law would make me right with God, then there's no need for Christ to die." Let's pray. Father, speak to us. Anoint this time. Anoint this message. Prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from you and to receive today. We pray for life change. We pray for challenge, conviction, and encouragement. Do what you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so there's so much. I got to be honest with you. I've been really excited about this message all week long because there's so much we can learn from this little passage right here. There's three things I'll tell you up front that we're going to discuss today. We're going to discuss relationship lessons. We're going to discuss the danger of hypocrisy, and we're going to trust. And we're going to talk about the power of trusting in Christ through all things. If you know me, I love to talk about relationships. I love to talk about relationships because if I'm being really honest and really real, I don't know it all. I don't have it all figured out. But in 22 years of pastoring, here's what I see. When we miss it, we usually miss it in the area of relationships. because we know how to do church. We know how to pretend. We know a little bit of scripture. We've learned the words to the songs when we come to church. We know how to do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, we have to learn to have a relationship with God, a healthy relationship. And we have to learn to have relationships with one another. And many of us struggle with relationships with people in our lives. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to preach about it, but we struggle. We struggle in our marriage. Can I get a witness? We struggle with raising children. We struggle with our parents. We struggle with people that we work with, and we even struggle with people that we go to church with. We struggle in relationships, and so Paul does a really, really great job in talking about how to deal with relationships. Here's the thing. We're going to see today Paul, this great apostle. We're going to see Peter, one that was hand-chosen by Jesus himself. We're going to look and we're going to see how they had a disagreement in the way they were living life. There was opposition. There was a struggle. There was hard area in their relationship. And you know what you and I got to learn to do? We got to learn to deal with the difference in opinion, and we got to learn how to deal when we oppose one another. Because how many of you would agree, when somebody opposes me, I usually just get mad and angry, and it winds up in a fight, and 3 days later we decide to get over it and get back to loving and living life. Come on, somebody. We have these struggles. We have difference of opinions. We oppose things. You don't do what I want to do, and I don't do what you want to do. And we get all personal, and we get all offended, and we get all booty hurt, and it blows up into this big situation. If we're going to have real marriages, and we're going to have real family, and we're going to have real relationships, you and I have got to get over our petty and our selfish ways and say we can come together and disagree on things and still have good relationships. Paul and Peter, they're struggling. Every relationship that we have, at some point there's going to be some opposition and there's going to be some disagreement in opinions. Here's the thing. Sometimes in our relationships, we're going to have some small disagreements. We're going to have some things that we think differently on. They're just little bitty things. And you know what? We need to have the wisdom and the discernment of the Holy Spirit to go, this is a little thing, and this doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, so I'm going to swallow my pride, shut up, and I'm just going to leave this one alone, because not all battles are worth fighting. Can I hear a good amen? But there are some things in our life where there is a difference in opinions, in the relationships that we have, and they are affecting our relationship, and they're affecting our mental health, and they're affecting our peace. And so there are some things we can't just sweep under the rug and ignore. There are some things we need to talk about. Wisdom and discernment is what we need. This particular situation with Paul and Peter, they're two driving forces in the kingdom of God. They're two powerhouses. They're two world changers. They have a struggle and they have a problem, and Paul says, this one needs to be addressed. I can't sweep this under the rug. This is not about worship style. This is not about translations of the Bible. This is a big deal. Paul says, we have to talk about that. And Paul goes to Peter and he confronts Peter. Now think with me for a moment. This had to be a very uncomfortable conversation. Because Peter has been following Jesus for 3, 4, 5, or 6 years. Peter was handpicked by Jesus. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter walked on water. Peter saw Lazarus raised from the dead. Peter is the man that preached on the day of Pentecost when 5,000 people got saved. Peter! And then here's Paul, who just recently got saved. He's younger in his faith. Paul is not as good as Peter. Paul hasn't been following Jesus as long as Peter. This had to be a hard thing for Paul to go to the leader of the church and confront him with an issue. But Paul said, I am willing to have this conversation even though it's uncomfortable, because I believe it will further the kingdom of God. Can I just tell you, you and I need to learn to have some conversations with people around us that are a little bit uncomfortable. Real deal stuff. Real deal stuff. Paul goes and has this uncomfortable confrontation with, Paul goes and talks to Peter. There's a few things I think that you and I can learn about relationships and how we can learn to confront people in biblical, God-honoring Christian ways. Because some of us, and I'm looking at you, but I ain't calling your name out. You got a personality about like me. And by God, when it comes time to confront somebody, you done stewed on it, set on it, and you finna tear somebody a new one. Come on, somebody. Obviously, Paul prayed about this. Obviously, Paul thought about this. Paul goes to Peter, and he confronts him, and here's some things that we can learn. He confronts him face to face. Can I tell you, if you have real deal conversations that you need to have with people, whether it's your in your marriage, whether it's your kids, people you work with, whether it's people at your church, the greatest way and the biblical way to talk to them is to have enough courage and gumption to go talk to them face to face. We live in this world where it's all about text messaging. We live in this world where it's all about a phone call. And some of us are so stupid and we have so little courage that we won't confront people on a text message, but we'll post a bunch of crap on social media trying to confront somebody else because they didn't do what we wanted them to do. And we're airing our dirty laundry out to everybody, and we wonder why we don't have any good, healthy relationships. I need you to know, when I pray, I've been praying all week long that the Spirit of God would speak to us, and if we have some struggles and some conflicts in our relationships, that you and I, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, would have the courage to go and talk to somebody face to face. Now, it's okay if you seek wise counsel. It's okay if you say to somebody, hey, pray with me about this situation. I need to go confront so-and-so. But when you start going around and you're no longer seeking wise counsel, but you're just running your mouth and you're just gossiping and you're just talking bad about somebody else, that's where you got to draw the line. Go talk to them face-to-face, always. We need to learn to speak the truth in love. And the key is this, love. Like, I am a preacher of truth. Can I hear a good amen? How many know we need truth in America today? But the reason that some people won't accept the truth is because we don't speak the truth in love. We're speaking the truth out of anger and judgment towards other people. People that are living outside of the truth are not necessarily bad people. They have been attacked by the enemy, and the God of this world has blinded their eyes, and they don't know the truth. And when we come at them, and we get that they reject us because we don't speak the truth in love. And if we'll learn to speak the truth in love, love. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So we have to speak the truth, but we got to do it in love. Everybody say love. Speak the truth in love, because sometimes, can we be real? Sometimes the truth hurts. Come on, somebody. Sometimes the truth cuts. And how we do this, how we confront others, how we speak to others, it totally, totally matters. We have to learn to confront others. I hope I ain't just preaching to me today. We need to learn to confront others in the spirit of honor and respect. Because you know what, like I'm a respect guy. Like, you know what, I mean, about honor, and I'm about respect. And actually the Bible says in Romans 12:10, love others with a genuine love and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in being honorable in the way you speak to people. Take delight, even if they're wrong, even if they're living in untruth, take delight in honoring them. You can ask my family and the people that know me. You can talk to me about anything. You can call me out. You can rebuke me. You can tell me that you thought I was wrong. But if you do it in a disrespectful way, and you do it in a way that dishonors me and your relationship in God, I will not hear a word you say. But if you come to me with humility, and you come to me respecting me as your friend and respecting me as a child of God, speak to me with honor and respect, and I'll hear anything you got to say. Paul goes with respect and honor to Peter, this leader in the church. He speaks the truth to him in love. Can I just say this? Are y'all listening to me? Can I hear a good amen? Look, right quick. Some of you, there's some stuff you fighting about with your friends and family. And you fussing about, and you aggravated, and you're ticked off, and you got no love, and you got no disrespect, and you got no honor. And I'm telling you, you need to listen to the Spirit of God and the spirit of humility. Shut it, shut it, shut it. Forget about it. Quit fussing about it. Quit fighting about it. Quit arguing about it. Quit being dramatic about it. Quit making it a big deal, because in the grand scheme of things, it means nothing. Only thing that's on the line is your pride to prove that you're right. And then there's some of you, You need to have some real honest conversations with the people around you, because you've been sweeping it under the rug, and you've been ignoring situations that need to be dealt with, and you've been cowardly, and you've not been, you know what? So some of you need to shut it, and some of you need to have some real conversations. It'll bring glory to God, and it'll bring health to your relationships. What I love here is make sure that your heart is right. Let me know it's all about our heart, y'all. Come on, somebody. Guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. Guard your heart. Before you go and have these conversations, before you blurt stuff out of your mouth, make sure your heart's right, because Luke 6:45 says this: a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from your heart. You ever had opposition, an argument, a fight, a disagreement, and you say a bunch of crap, and then after the dust is settled, you say, well, I didn't mean what I said. The Bible says what you say is an overflow of your heart. So if you need to have these conversations, stop, spend time, pray about it, honor, respect, love, make sure your heart is right, and then go have these conversations, and it will bring some great relationships to our lives. Paul is not afraid to go have this uncomfortable conversation. He goes and he has this uncomfortable conversation because Peter is being a hypocrite. Peter is being a hypocrite. He is saying one thing and doing another. Peter is being a hypocrite. We get bad raps in the church for being hypocrites. Come on, somebody. I'm not sure it's all a bad rap. Can I get a witness? We have to make sure this deal is real. I'm going to prove to you the danger of hypocrisy. I'm going to prove to you today through the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to prove to you today in what Paul did and how he opposed Peter. I'm going to prove to you through the Scripture that the way that we live our life matters. The way that we live our life either brings glory to God or it takes away the glory from God. The way that we live our life either leads other people to Christ or it leads them astray. The way that we live our life, it matters. So here we go. Danger of hypocrisy. Jesus in Mark 7 one time, he said to you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You got to remember there's Jews and Gentiles in this time. Jews are God's chosen people. Gentiles are considered to be the sinners. They're considered to be the unclean. They're considered to be the ones that are unworthy. They're not as good as these Jews. But when Jesus came and he shed the blood, it was grace for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. Come on, somebody. And so now all of a sudden, Peter's doing good. Peter's a Jew. Peter's been a Jew his whole life, and now he understands the gospel, and he's hanging out with Gentiles and sinners. He's eating supper with them, the ones he formerly was separated from, the ones he formerly thought that he was better than. Now he's hanging out with these sinners. He's being a good Christian guy, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then some old school Jews showed up, some guys that Peter knew from back in the day, when they were following the law, and Peter allowed peer pressure from the old Jews to change the way that he was treating the Gentiles. Peer pressure came in. Older people came in, put some pressure on him, and all of a sudden, Peter began to change the way that he was living. Let's talk about peer pressure a minute. Remember when you were a kid in school and they talked to you about peer pressure? Like just back in my day, it was just say no to drugs. Just say no. Don't give in to peer pressure. Peer pressure for children, it's a big deal because you got these little rank, ornery little kids, and they're trying to put pressure on these other kids to come and drink with them and have sex with them and do all this stuff. And peer pressure is killing our kids, but let's be real and let's be honest. Can we get down to the nitty-gritty and get down to the nut cutting here today? Peer pressure ain't just for teenagers and high school kids. Peer pressure affects you and I. Because if we're really honest, we'll act a little different, talk a little different, tell a few different jokes, and drink a little bit different stuff when we're around a crowd that's not our church crowd. Come on, somebody. We'll drink a little different, talk a little different, act a little different when we're at the rodeo than when we do when we're at the church house. will act a little different, drink a little different, talk a little different, seem a little different when we're at the basketball game or the football game than we do when we're at church. We got to be careful, because you and I are called to be the light of the world, and you and I are called to be world changers, and we are not called to be a chameleon to adapt to our environment. We are to take light into the dark place and change the atmosphere everywhere we go. But Peter, peer pressure hit him. He gave back into some of his old ways. He caved a little bit. Peter became double-minded. What am I missing? About the following the law, or is it about the gospel? Is it about the Jew, or is it about the Gentile? Peter became double-minded. He became double-tongued, speaking one way over here and speaking another way over here. And then his heart became divided in what was true and what was right. That is a dangerous red flag. Dangerous red flag, red flag, red flag going off when we get double-tongued, double-minded, and double-hearted. Listen to me. I've heard this for 22 years. I've even said it before I got saved. My sin doesn't bother you. Don't you worry about my sin. My sin affects me and nobody else. Don't worry about me. Can I tell you, if you believe that, you have believed the lie of the enemy, because the wages of sin are death, and death and sin does not just affect you. It affects everyone around you. It affects your marriage. It affects your children. It affects everyone that you have any influence over. Peter was an influential guy, the leader of the church, and he gave in to peer pressure, and he became double-minded, and he starts being hypocritical. He became unstable. James 1:8, look at me. Look. James 1:8 says this: a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So here's Peter, who was the rock, preaching on Pentecost. Now he's become unstable. Revelation 3, get over in that old dark book in the back of the Bible. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I know all the things you do, but you're neither hot nor cold. And he said, I wish you were one or the other, because Jesus knows if we're lukewarm, and Jesus knows if we're in the middle, we're of no use to anybody. He said, get on one side or get on the other. Peter's hypocrisy begins to affect other people. Let's go back to our main scripture, Galatians 2:13. As a result of Peter's hypocrisy, other Jews, and even Barnabas, was led astray by their hypocrisy. Now, if you were here last week, we talked about Barnabas. Barnabas is this encourager. Barnabas is this great leader in the first century church. Barnabas is the guy that stood up for Paul when nobody trusted Paul, when nobody believed Paul, when they wouldn't accept Paul. Barnabas stepped up, and he spoke up, and he stood up for Paul. Everything was changed in Paul's life because of Barnabas. Barnabas was a strong leader in the Christian church. Not some weak, fledgling guy that was on the outside. Not just someone that had recently got saved. He's Barnabas. And because Peter was living a life of hypocrisy, not only were other Jews drawn away, but even tough, strong Barnabas, strong in his faith, was drawn away by Peter's hypocrisy. Listen to me, y'all. We got to be careful. Can I be real with you? We got to be careful that we don't allow the enemy to come in and bring hypocrisy into our life, the temptation of hypocrisy. We got to not let the devil tempt us to becoming hypocrites in this area or that area and living out of the truth and living in this gray area, because when we do so, it will affect us. And not only will it affect us, it will affect everyone that is around us. And I'm telling you, there is danger in causing other people to stumble. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, do not cause anyone to stumble. Jews or Greeks are in the church of God. This next scripture I'm going to read to you, it's very heavy. And can I say to you, parents? And can I say to you, grandparents? And can I say to those of you that have influence over young children? This is a heavy scripture, but we need to know it and we need to understand it. These are red letter words. All of the word of God is powerful, but for me, the ones in red, they just stick out a little bit more because those are Jesus's words. Be careful, parents. Be careful, moms and dads. Be careful, grandparents. Be careful, aunts and uncles. Be careful, cool folks, the little kids are looking up to you. Because Matthew 18:6 says this, "But if anyone causes one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble." If any of us cause a young, little child, the innocence of a child, don't tell me God doesn't care about the innocence of children. Don't tell me that God doesn't care about you and I speaking truth and raising up and protecting the young children. I don't care what society says right now. God teaches us that the young are very impressionable. God teaches us the preciousness and the innocence of children, and we have to take that to heart. If any of you causes a little one who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for you to have a large millstone hung around your neck and for you to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow. Wow. When we cause little ones to stumble because of our hypocrisy, God said, it's better for you to like just be drowned in the depths of the sea. And for some of us, I'm just being really honest with you today and really, really real. Some of us need to have a check in our spirit about the way we've been acting and about the example that we've been setting. Not only for the little children in our lives, but for the other people in our lives. This is serious business. Paul had enough courage to go talk to Peter. And listen to me, once Paul goes and talks to Peter, you know what Peter does? Because he talked to him in love. Because Peter talked to him in respect and honor, because Paul talked to him face to face, because Paul did it in a biblical way, you know what Peter did? He received it with a humble heart, and he changed his ways. And when he changed his ways and he repented, the kingdom of God began to grow once again. So important. Let me give you my last point, and then we'll be done. There's power in relationships. Some of us need to have conversations with people. And some of the rest of us need to shut up and leave it alone, because what you're fussing about and carrying on about, it's not a big deal. Second thing we got to learn is we have to check our lives for hypocrisy. We have to check our lives. Check our lives. Check our hearts. And then lastly, I want to talk to you just about the importance of just staying true to our faith in Jesus Christ. Because the scripture that I read to you earlier was Galatians 2:21, Paul says, "I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make me right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." Can I just be real with y'all today? A lot of us treat the grace of God as meaningless. And I'm sorry, but we've distorted grace. We've watered down grace. We've made grace try to fit into our lives rather than trying to fit our lives into the grace of God. And we go on sinning, and we go on doing, and we go on having unhealthy relationships, and we go on full of drama, and we just treat the grace of God. And we say, oh, I'm just going to keep sleeping with him. Oh, I'm just going to keep spending the night with her. Oh, I'm just going to keep drinking this and smoking this, and I'm going to keep living my life in a way that I know is contrary to the word of God. Because grace, because God is full of love, because God can't hurt. You know, and we treat it as meaningless. At some point, you and I should begin to understand that the grace of God is real to me. I tried this and I tried that, and I tried drinking and I tried sex and I tried drugs. I tried everything to bring fulfillment to my life and change my old hard heart and my messed up way of thinking. But one day I finally gave up on everything of this world, and I tried the grace of Jesus Christ, the free gift of God. And when I accepted Jesus and the grace in my life, it changed me. It gave me joy. It gave me peace. It gave me healthy relationships once again. And after everything the grace of God has done for me, no longer will I treat it as meaningless or treat it as some Sunday morning game. It's the real deal to me, and it's life-changing. The grace of God. Conrad, y'all come help me close, please. Paul said this, "My old self," listen to me, I'm almost done. He said, "My old self has been crucified." My old self. How many of you glad you ain't your old self anymore? Paul said, my old self has been crucified. My old ways, my old anger, my old jealousy, my old bitterness, my old religious ways, my old performance mentality, like it's been crucified. It's not Paul that lives. He said, it's Christ that lives in me. And I'm going to tell you something today. It ain't Cody that's lives anymore. It's Jesus that lives inside of me. And I don't trust in Cody. Come on, somebody. And you better not trust in him very much, just saying. Paul said, I don't trust in me, but I trust in Jesus that's in me. Because Christ that's in me is the hope of glory. Paul said, I live this life trusting in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Why don't you stand on your feet today and we'll close with a word of prayer. Bow your heads if you would, please, and close your eyes. Let me ask you a quick question. We'll try to do it this way, because I just feel like now let's just pray. How about let's just pray, y'all too? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, we would be so naive and so ignorant to think that there's not some people in this room that are struggling with relationships. Somebody has opposed them. Somebody has confronted them, and we've just taken it personal. And we've allowed the enemy to come in and plant that bitterness and that anger and that resentment in our hearts. And so, Lord, I just pray today that we could learn from this scripture, this text. And we can be like Paul. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you begin to move on the hearts of maybe marriages in this place that need to have a real conversation. Maybe there's some marriages in this place, some husbands and wives, and they're afraid to confront the other one because they're afraid it might be like a volcano, that it might blow up. Might be a mess. But Lord, I pray that in this moment and in this atmosphere that your Holy Spirit would just move on the hearts and minds of husbands and wives. And that today you would speak to our hearts. Today would be a game changer, that we could go now. Maybe conversations in the past have been heated and they've caused struggle, but now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the discernment of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God, now we can have some conversations that previously have kept us separated. Sons and daughters can have talks with their parents. Friends can have talks with friends. Lord, let us learn from this and let us understand that it may be uncomfortable, but through it all and our courage and our trust in you, it's going to bring life and health and hope and peace to relationships and to many, many people. Lord, for those that have these little things that's just hanging in their minds and their hearts, it's a little bit of aggravation, a little bit of bitterness from years ago. We're just hanging on to it. It really amounts to nothing. Just silly, the enemy's come in and watered those seeds of anger and bitterness. Lord, give us the power to let them go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Let us just let those things go. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of them, God, and bring us back into relationship. Help us to understand that power of relationships. And then on the topic of hypocrisy, Father, speak to us, not in a condemning way, not in a judgmental way, but in a convicting way of our hypocritical ways, of the position that we have in our family, the position that we have at our church, the position that we have, the influence that we have. Let us understand and realize everything that we say, do, eat, drink, and live, watch, all that matters. And if we've been living a life of hypocrisy, I pray for conviction today. For conviction. And at the end of the day, Lord, let us be like Peter. Let us repent. And then let us be like Paul and say, not I live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm going to build my life and my foundation on the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to move forward, never ever taking the grace of God as meaningless ever again, but to live with passion for the glory of God. Speak to us as we close in worship, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's.